Please be seated. Apropos of absolutely nothing at all, when I was little, I used to really wonder where Oriental was, just because I'd only ever heard the song. Anyway, that's nothing to do with this. As you can see now, our crib scene is starting to come together. We've got all of the main players in the various nativity stories that we've had. We've got Mary and Joseph. We've got the shepherds. We've got sheep. We've got, of course, the baby Jesus. We've got, for those of you who are here for the crib service, a robin. And we have got now our three wise men. So I was just wondering which character in the nativity story perhaps you most identify with. Perhaps for the gentleman out there, you might identify with Joseph, a man who, despite getting his heavily pregnant wife 60-odd miles without a car, probably still got the blame for not having booked ahead. You might identify with the shepherds. You might identify with the wise men, if you are, of course, wise. Or perhaps you feel no close affinity to any of those. Because, let's face it, there is a real world of difference between 21st century Horsham and 1st century Palestine. So, I just want you to think, which of the characters in the Nativity story is the one that you most closely connect to? Which is your favourite, perhaps? I'm going to give you a second to think about. Perhaps if you wanted to turn and talk to the people around you just to share your preference. You don't have to if you don't want to. You can sit there smugly going, I know which one I am. But I'll give you a second to do that while I think about my own preferences.
The role of the Robin. I think the Robins that I've met are observers. They stay close, but not too close.
That's very good. Okay, let's just have a show of hands, really. Anyone here who would identify with Mary the closest? That's interesting. Mary, obviously not for me, being a bloke. Unless medical science moves on, I'm probably not going to experience what walking 60 miles while heavily pregnant's like. Anyone with Joseph? Who picked Joseph? A couple of people picked Joseph. Hats off to you. I don't necessarily identify with Joseph. I'm not a carpenter. And to be honest, I've got a suspicion that he was a much nicer and more faithful man than I am. I mean, he trusted God, and I trust God, but still, his level of faith was unbelievable. Okay, anyone here identify with the cattle and sheep? A surprising number. There will be prayer available at the end of the service for you. I don't identify with cattle and sheep. Not a big fan of sleeping on straw and eating grass, if I'm really honest with you. Anyone here identify with shepherds? A fair few with the shepherds. I was toying with the idea of identifying with shepherds. I was a former youth worker before I went to Vicar Factory. And being a youth worker is very similar to being a shepherd. You care for slightly slow and woolly creatures, and you have to herd them, and it's not entirely similar, actually. Did you know the shepherds were considered the lowest of the low in first century Palestine? There was actually a rabbi who counseled his followers not to buy anything from the shepherds because it was probably stolen. That was the kind of level of people would see at the shepherds. I will pass on that one, I think. Which leaves us with, apart from the robin, and Alan identified with the robin, very observant. He likes the fact of the robins. I said if you were here for the crib service and you saw the robin trying to fly around the church, perhaps you wouldn't. Did anyone else identify then with the wise men? No. This is one person. That's good. I'm feeling that this church doesn't feel it's wise. You are wise people because you have made right choices. You are here this morning for starters. But the wise men, we don't really know a lot about them, really. We know from the words used to describe them in the Bible that they weren't Jews. They came probably from Mesopotamia or Persia, modern-day Iran or Iraq. So they weren't Jews. They were astrologers. The same word used to describe the magi is used elsewhere in the Bible to describe magicians. So they were kind of from that Eastern mystic astrology. They weren't followers of God, as we understand it then. They were outsiders. They weren't included in the people of God. They were outsiders. And yet, these people travelled vast distances to greet this newborn baby. So, what else do we know about them? Well, really, not that much. We don't really know how they knew about the fact that this star would connect to the birth of Jesus. We don't really know what star they followed. We don't know their names. We don't know what happened to them after they returned. We don't even know, if we're honest, if there were three of them. I mean, tradition says there are three wise men because we have the three gifts. But I think if you've got enough nous to get from modern-day Persia to a small village to the south of Jerusalem, you might be able to carry, I don't know, two or three gifts in your bag yourself. I don't know. There might have been more than one. There might have been three. There might have been loads. So we don't really know that much about them. But I want to suggest to you some ways in which we are like them. The gifts that they brought to Jesus. Tell you what, they were rubbish gifts. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And those gifts, if you're thinking of buying gifts for a newborn baby, may I counsel you, don't go for those three things. I mean, gold's lovely. Gold's brilliant because it's worth a lot. It's very valuable. It's a precious metal. But if you were a young carpenter and his wife in a village where perhaps you didn't know very many people, what on earth are you going to do with a lump of gold? It's lovely, it's a nice idea, but 10 out of 10 for, you know, the value, but about 0 out of 10 for the practicality. What else did they bring? They brought frankincense. Frankincense was the incense that had burnt in the temple. It's very appropriate, it's a very valuable thing. It's as valuable as gems and precious metals, and very appropriate for a baby who would be the only person who was pure. The only person who lived life perfectly, but again, probably not that useful on the practical front. You can imagine the scene perhaps on Christmas, you know, not like ours on Christmas morning when we unwrap the exciting looking parcel from Great Aunt Bessie, only to find it's another hideous jumper. You could imagine Mary and Joseph going, oh brilliant, you've got us a gift, you've brought us some frankincense. That's brilliant for the temple, not so good for a smelly crib scene. And the final gift they bring along is myrrh, the most mysterious of the three gifts in many ways. We all know what gold is. Most of us can hazard a guess that frankincense is some kind of incense. But what is myrrh? Well, myrrh is a fragrant resin substance, i.e. smelly stuff from a tree, which they used in embalming. In fact, when Jesus' body was taken down from the cross, it was myrrh that Nicodemus used to prepare the body for burial. So perhaps you can imagine Mary and Joseph's delight when they got this third gift. Oh, brilliant, look what you've got us this time. Some embalming perfume. What says happy birth of a new baby quite like embalming? Delightful, thank you. On the face of it, those three gifts were not appropriate for a baby. But with 2,000 years of hindsight, we can see that they were very appropriate for Jesus. Gold for the King of Kings, frankincense for worshipping, and myrrh for burial. They weren't great for a baby, but they were perfect for God, and God used them. And God still uses them today, 2,000 years later, to teach us through those three gifts of what Jesus was like. Jesus was a king. Jesus was to be worshipped, and Jesus came to die. But we're a bit like those kings in that we bring gifts, we bring things before God, and they're not always the greatest things. I mean, on one level, the things that we do for God perhaps doesn't always work perfectly. Perhaps our attempt to follow Jesus' teachings, to love our neighbour, perhaps if you're like me, you sometimes struggle with your neighbour in front of you in the supermarket queue who is taking an absolute age to get their money out. Perhaps if you're like me, you struggle to love your neighbour when you're in a traffic jam queue and that person just cuts in front of you. Perhaps like me, you struggle to love your neighbour when you're walking down the high street and someone opens an umbrella right in front of you and takes your eye out. There are tons of opportunities when we struggle to love our neighbours. There are tons of opportunities when the things that we do seem to be just not that brilliant. But actually, God loves the fact that we bring our efforts and our gifts. So our gifts, like the wise men, although they might not appear to do much at first, actually bring pleasure and joy to our Father in heaven. Because it turns out that God's like that. We come expecting God to be one way and to be one thing, and he completely flips our expectations because he's bigger and he's better than we can even dream. We should love our enemies. We should pray for those people who treat us badly. And God's way was to take on himself in Jesus our sin. He paid the price for what we had done. That seems to be the way that God's kingdom works. It's upside down. It's not the way that we expect it. We bring weak, feeble gifts of ourselves, of our efforts, and God takes them, and he does something amazing with them. Just like the wise men. They were invited to search for Jesus by a sign, and we're invited to search for Jesus, to bring him our gifts, to bring him what we've got, perhaps inappropriate though it may seem, weak and foolish though it may seem, and yet God takes us, our lives, our efforts, and redeems it, and makes it glorious. So that's my prayer for all of us this Epiphany, as we think about the wise men, as we think about Christmas, as we go on through the year. What gifts can you bring to God? What things have you got in your lives that you're willing for God to take and use? And what are you willing to allow God to do with those gifts? Because he has a plan bigger and better than anything that you can dream of. Amen.